What did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? We were in John, that last part of John 15. The world hates you. And the world is anybody that is not of God. Hostile is how the Greek translates it. Hostile towards God. Anybody that's hostile towards God. And so we unpacked this thing where it looks like it's just talking about these religious people that are the world and the punishment that we're going to get from the world, but it's anybody that's hostile towards God. And if you're honest with yourself, that you've been hostile with God. If you're honest with yourself, maybe you're still hostile towards God. So last week, that's what we talked about. This week, Jesus continues this conversation with his disciples. We're going through a teaching series through the book of John, and it's all about the life of Jesus. And John makes he doesn't make it a guessing game for us to know why he wrote the book of John, why he wrote this life of Jesus down. It's so that you and I would believe in Jesus. And so that's why we're going through this teaching, because if you don't believe in Jesus, you need to. You got to do something with this information that we're hearing through Scripture. Sound good? And if you do believe in Jesus, or at least you say you believe in Jesus, there's a lot of those folks out there that say they believe in Jesus and have no clue who Jesus is. This one's for you too. So let's just say it's for everybody. Can we do that? Cool. Let's do it. So we're in John 16. We spilled over into John 16, and last week Jesus told him the reason he was telling him these things. And in John 14, the second half of John 14, 16, 14, we're going to be in. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn there. Cindy Schroyer, where are you? Cindy Schroyer came in with a hard copy of a Bible and said, "I brought my Bible." I said, "Going old school. It's got, does that have pages in it and paper? Is that leather bound? Wow. I haven't seen one of those in a long time." So hopefully, you guys are bringing your Bible. Hopefully, this, when we read today's chapter, when we read in chapter 16, this isn't the first time you've read it. We've been asking you to read along with us. We've been asking you to be a part of this story prior to us meeting on Sunday mornings. We've been asking you to hear from Jesus yourself in your own time. And so that's what we're encouraging you to do. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. There's Bibles out on the table. They're right next to the donuts. They're kind of hard to see because donuts are really awesome, and then there's a Bible. So maybe if a Bible would look like a donut, I'll have to talk to the pressing companies and see if they can make a round Bible with a hole in it. I'm not funny. Two different types of food. That's right. And if you're not eating both, you're going to starve yourself to death. All right? So grab a Bible out there. Download one on your phone. There's tons of free Bibles out there. That's great. And we're going to kick it off. You ready? This is a rough room this morning. Is everybody else going fishing? Nobody wants to be here this morning?
I want to be here. Hey, I
want to
be here.
Oh, okay. Give me some feedback then. Help me out. All right, John 16, the last half of verse 4 says this. "I did not say these things to you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room. "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you." Jesus is here. He didn't need to say these things to them. "But now I am going to him who sent me." He's talking about God, his Father. "And none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?'" Which I find this verse interesting because if you remember, that was Peter's main hang-up, right? When Jesus is talking about this is the kind of love you need to have for one another, when he's washing their feet, and the only thing that Peter hears is, "Well, wait a minute, you said you're leaving us?" So I don't know what Jesus is necessarily referring to here, but we're not going to get hung up on that, all right? So it says, "But none of you asked where I was going, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." They're sad that Jesus is going to be leaving. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth, also known as the Helper, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What in the world is John talking about? What is Jesus talking about? So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, also called the Helper, also called this Spirit of Truth. And what we know is this beautiful story. We have this, if you read through the Scriptures, you know kind of the end game of how this works, of Jesus dies a few hours after he has this meeting with his disciples. Jesus is taken and put on trial and killed by crucifixion. And then Jesus is dead for 3 days, and then he raises. He comes back, just like he said he would. And he comes back, and he hangs out with his disciples a little more, and there's all these sightings of Jesus that are talked about within Scripture. And then he leaves. Again, he goes to heaven, never to be seen in that form again. And so Jesus then has always promised this Holy Spirit, this Helper, this Spirit of Truth, this thing. That'll come and be with us and teach us and live within us, those that profess Jesus. This Holy Spirit is accessible to us so that we'll remember the things that Jesus taught, so that we'll hear from God just like Jesus heard from God, and he said everything that God had him to say. He said, I don't have any words of my own, but everything I say comes from the Father. And so Jesus' death takes down this barrier and opens this very same relationship that Jesus has with God up to us. That we'll hear from God directly, that we'll hear and know and be able to speak on behalf of God the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to speak. The things that the Holy Spirit would tell us to do. Does that sound crazy? A little bit of feedback here would be great.
No.
Does it sound crazy to anybody?
No.
Really? It sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. What I find incredible about this verse is that Jesus is talking here. And there's a lot of things that we as the church get wrong. Would you agree with that statement? There's a feedback. You guys agree with that statement? Uh-huh. There's a lot of ways in which the world loves that, not the world, excuse me, the church loves wrongly. Amen? Anybody ever see the Westboro Baptist people? I mean, those guys are easy to just pick on because they have signs that say God hates a myriad of things, people. And I've never found that in my Bible to be a statement that has ever been said. All I've ever seen is God loves. But we, people, we get it wrong. We get this scripture wrong. We get this way of loving people wrong. We get this way of interacting with people wrong. And it's because a lot of times we feel like we have something to prove or we have something to say on any given subject. whether it be addiction, whether it be sexuality, whether it be whatever, we feel we have this thing that we need to just speak out loud. And not only just speak out loud, but we need to keep speaking about it to people. We need to continue to talk to these people about these things if they're not going in a direction that we see them that they need to go, right? Has anybody been there? We do it with our family members. We do it with our kids. We try to do it with our spouses. Husbands, wives, you know what I'm talking about? We try to fast-track growth of people. I'm guilty of that as a pastor. We try to bring people further along than they are by hitting them over and over and over and over, hoping that our words connect, hoping that everything that we have connects and clicks with people, and then they change somehow, miraculously. But Jesus' words in here, this is interesting. What does he say? It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, what does this verse say? He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. But so often in this particular scripture, I put, instead of he will convict, I put I will convict. Right? Let me tell you how you are wrong. Let me tell you where you are failing God. And as a pastor, to some extent, that's my privilege as I get to stand up here on the stage. That's some of this calling that I have as a pastor. That's some of this reason why you here are here sitting in the seats. That some of that is why I'm here. That's why I was called to Laramie 8 years ago. But there's so many places in Scripture and in my own life where I have interactions with people that I say, I'm going to convict you. And I'm going to convict you in ways by using my own words. I'm going to convict you in ways by maybe even withholding my love from you. That sounds like Jesus, right? What's that? Yes. But we always put this I instead of he. And as a pastor, I'm guilty of that. And as a pastor, recently I've seen a change in my thinking in this. There has been people, when we started this church 8 years ago, who have been on a very hard road. And there's people that I've met with and met with again, and met with again, in regards to certain sin issues, in regards to lifestyles that are not beneficial to the love that they say they have for Jesus, and the love that they say they have for others. And so I meet with people, and I try to direct them to Scripture every single time. My question is always, how do you make this square with Scripture? And then a lot of the times when I meet with people, they tell me, I can't. The way I'm responding right now to my family, the way I'm responding right now to my brothers and sisters whom I hate, the way I'm responding to my spouse, the way I'm responding to this certain sin issue, I can't make my life square with what Jesus is saying. And I've already told you I'm like the world's worst counselor, because then my next statement is, then stop. Sounds easy, right? If you can't make it square with Scripture, and if you're going against what Jesus says, then you are what? Hostile towards Jesus, right? You're hostile towards Christ, like Jesus just said in the verses last week. So we set ourselves up as this enemy. So just stop. And then years go by as I watch us struggle. Now, I lump myself in with this too. I am the exact same person that I'm speaking of when I speak of you. I'm a hard learner. As a kid, I always chose the spanking. Nobody got spanked in this room, I know. The wooden spoon was my best friend, according to my mother. We used to have Sunday morning services, and then we used to have Sunday evening services. And my mother would literally take me from the front row, we sat like in the second row, walk me down the aisle, and we'd go down to the kitchen, the church kitchen, and this was a ritual, like every Sunday. Adam, you need to stop doing this. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to spank you. Okay, whatever. And literally every Sunday night I'd get a spanking, because I'm a hard learner. And then I'd be fine after the spanking. So I sit with people, and it's years and years and years of the making of people running into this hard road and just being hostile towards God and being something other than what Scripture has called them to be, something other than what God has said they are, because they'd rather choose sin. And 8 years later down the road, I'm sitting with these same people, and I'm hearing this story of redemption. I'm hearing this story of, Adam, I got to celebrate. I got to tell you what's going on in my life. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And they come to me and they said, God, just within this last year, told me this. Now, here's the thing, is I've been saying this to them for the last 6 years with nothing, no heart change, no life change. I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall. And it's not that I'm going after these people to pursue them and, hey, you need to do this, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change. But these people are coming to me with their lives in shambles saying, I don't get why my life's in shambles. And I put my finger on the pulse and say, this is why. And they come to me 8 years later and they say, Adam, I got to tell you what God's been telling me. When did this start for you? And I'm hoping that they say, from the time you and I started meeting. When I heard your words, Adam, when I heard you say, this is what I'm hoping they say, because I like those ego biscuits. I like to be stroked a little bit, right? Anybody else? No. Y'all are liars. Y'all are liars. But I like these ego biscuits, and I hope they say it's because of the things you said, Adam. No, you know what they say? Because God told me that what I was doing was outside of His kingdom. I had this conversation with God. I had this beautiful moment with God. And it changed my life. That totally squares with this verse here. This conviction can't come from me. This conviction can't come from my words. This conviction can only come through the Holy Spirit. And I can speak truth on these matters. I can speak truth as I find truth within Scripture. I can recall truth as the Holy Spirit helps us recall all things that Jesus said, all things that Jesus did, all things that Jesus asks us to do. I can do all of these things through the Spirit. But I cannot change your heart. That can only be done by the Holy Spirit. That can only be done by this helper that Jesus sends out. Kind of is disheartening in my job. Yeah, but I'm only called to sow the seed. Yeah. But yet we try, don't we? We try to force our own way by being unloving, by... If I ever catch any of you with a picket sign that says God hates anything, I will hit you. I will push you down in the street. But it's this beautiful Holy Spirit that convicts. It's this beautiful Holy Spirit that God sends, that Jesus sends to us, that does the whole heavy lifting thing for us. And we got to be obedient to that. We got to hear from the Holy Spirit. We've got to nurture this relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we say we believe in Jesus, that's when this Holy Spirit comes. And if you've read any scripture at all, you look in Acts, and that's after Jesus has taken off and said, I'm done, my helper's here, you're good to go. Crazy things begin to happen. There's scripture that says the Spirit shows up, and all of a sudden 3,000 people in one shot are believing in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. That sounds like a logistical nightmare from my standpoint. 3,000 messy people all loving Jesus and being a part of the church in one shot. That's scary. But you watch all these amazing things happen, and you start seeing these people's lives changed, and that is where the rubber meets the road with this whole Holy Spirit thing. You start seeing these hardened lives become soft, become moldable. You start seeing the unloving becoming loving and lovable. You start seeing people's worldview change as they view the world around them, as they look around and say, there's quite a bit of injustice in this world. What does Jesus have to say about these things? And there is a voice, there is that Spirit that teaches, that corrects, that rebukes. I've heard it. I heard it this last week. And you know what I chose to do? Turn the dial down. I ignored the Spirit's voice. A very direct, Adam, don't do this. I ignored it, and I did my own thing anyway. So the beauty of the Holy Spirit is it isn't this possession. It's not this possession that forces you to do things. It's this voice of God that speaks to you directly and says, look, this is what I've taught you to do. This is who I've told you you are. And this is my plan for humanity. Will you walk within that? Will you live that? Will you be that? And we do have this option to just turn that off. We do have this option to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And we do have this option to take up our hostility towards God and walk the other way. In any given moment, I was there this last week. Even full well knowing that the knowledge that the Holy Spirit was bringing into my mind, look, this isn't what God has for you right now. I don't care. And so the Spirit that we get from Jesus, it convicts. It does all of the heavy lifting. And I used to live a life where I did all the heavy lifting. I used to live this life outside of the Spirit, which is very interesting because I said I love Jesus. Which is very interesting because, oh yeah, I love Jesus. But it didn't change my life. It was just a thing I could say. It was just this concept I could kind of wrap my head around, and I was able to say, yeah, I love Jesus, but whatever. I don't really care about these people that are dying. I don't really care about these people that are poor. I don't really care about these people that are needing help. I don't care about my neighbor. I have hatred towards family members. I'm very selfish in my marriage. And I don't care. But I love Jesus. Okay, well, if you love Jesus, those things are going to start changing and morphing. Those things are going to start looking like Jesus in your life. But we fool ourselves. Mark Batterson had this to say about the Holy Spirit. He wrote a book called Chasing the Wild Goose. And the wild goose is a reference that the, is it Celtics? Celtics? How do you say that? The Celts had a name for the Holy Spirit, and I don't even remember the name of that they used within their language, but it was translated the wild goose. I wanted to make a goose noise just then, a honking, but I'm not going to do that. But Mark Batterson had to say this, if you would describe your relationship with God as anything less than adventurous, then maybe you think you're following the Spirit, but have actually settled for something less. If you would describe your relationship with God as anything less than adventurous, then maybe you think you're following the Spirit, but have actually settled for something less. 9 years ago, that was the life I was living. Come September, Whitewater will have been in existence 8 years. 9 years ago, this is the life I was living. So I relate to this. I'm following God. But my life didn't reflect this. It didn't have this element of adventure. And if you read in Acts, man, the Holy Spirit is wily. The Holy Spirit gets you into some crazy places in people's lives and does incredible works. And where I was living 9 years ago, that's not the case. That wasn't the case for my life. It was less than adventurous. And that's one of the things I love about Whitewater's mission statement is adventure is one of the words that breaks that out. Persistently moving the world 2 steps closer to Jesus through adventure is one of those headings. That's why the name is Whitewater, not Lazy Spring. Right? Whitewater reflects what this life in Jesus is, what this life with listening to the Holy Spirit is. It's adventure. He goes on to say, you have actually settled for something less, something Mark Batterson calls inverted Christianity. Instead of following the Spirit, we invite the Spirit to follow us. Been there. Instead of serving God's purposes, we want Him to serve ours. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to listen to you. I know what you have to say on this, and I don't care. I'm done with it. I'm going to tune you out. And while this may seem like a subtle distinction, it makes an ocean of difference. The result of this inverted relationship with God is not just a self-absorbed spirituality that leaves us feeling empty. It's also the difference between spiritual boredom and spiritual adventure. Are you bored? Are you bored with Jesus this morning? Do you find yourself in the self-serving, God serve me instead of me serving God? Do you find yourself in there this morning? Maybe you don't this morning, but maybe you will tomorrow. Maybe you will when you go out to lunch and the waiter is taking too long, or the waitress is taking too long for your order, or the drive-thru screws up your order. Maybe you will then. But this Holy Spirit is not just this thing that convicts, is not just this thing that beats people down or tells people no, no, no. This Holy Spirit is this inner relationship with God that we have. It's this beautiful thing that comes to us in our moments of trial and tribulation and comforts us. It's this very thing that reminds us of the grace of God when we fall, reminds us of the grace of God when others fall around us and says, hey, I've forgiven you, you go forgive. Hey, these people are going through a rough time, go speak this soft word to them. You need to speak truth in this situation, but you're not going to see the change you desire until I speak that truth to these people. These are the things that the Holy Spirit does in us and through us. And we need to be attentive to that. I have a buddy, his name's Jason Corbett. He was a guy I grew up with, and he was in our youth group. One of my earliest memories of Jason is he wanted to fight my friend Tony. It was an awesome youth group. So we met in the Arby's parking lot to eat a roast beef sandwich, and Jason and his 3 homies show up, and they go after my buddy Tony. And I'm just in the mix. I'm just a small guy. But I thought we were going to rumble. And this is my earliest memory of Jason. And Jason is at a hard road with drugs. Jason has had this incredible rough life. Jason is now a pastor of a church. But I want to let you hear from Jason's words. He just posted this like 13 hours ago of this encounter that he had. This encounter that he had with the Holy Spirit. And this is this adventure. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. If we can show this picture we've got that says Jason. It's kind of dark, but Jason is here on the left. And that's a Texas Roadhouse manager. This is what he says. This is Lou. He is the GM at Texas Roadhouse in Omaha. About 8 years ago, I had a run-in with Lou at a different restaurant. This was before Pastor Jason days. Lou and I didn't see eye to eye on a situation. I had judged him harshly and was beyond rude to him. 8 years later, I was given the opportunity by our amazing God to ask Lou for forgiveness. He bumps into this guy at a steak restaurant. With tears in both of our eyes and a handshake, I will remember for the rest of my life forgiveness that was given and received. This meeting wasn't by chance or coincidence. It was designed by God. And this is what he says. Be ready to respond to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to pray for people, lead you to encourage others, and lead you to ask others for forgiveness. The path of humility is a road worth choosing. Don't let pride rule and reign. I give God all the glory. He did this. Jason walks into a steakhouse to eat. And the Holy Spirit shows up in the steakhouse and says, you got some unfinished business with this guy that you were rude to 8 years ago. And I would almost assume that this manager, anybody work public service, you get that all the time. You get a lot of that kind of nonsense. And so, you know, it's just one more thing. And he probably didn't even, it was just a bad night for him. Probably didn't even remember. And Jason comes in, sees him. The Holy Spirit then comes in and says, look, this is an opportunity for you to be humble. This is an opportunity for you to show and ask for forgiveness. For you refusing the Holy Spirit's prompting 8 years ago in that situation. Before he was Pastor Jason. After you become a pastor, you become perfect and you have all this stuff down. Exactly. I am not one of those true pastors. But that beautiful moment happens, and again, Jason could have turned it off and said, no, I'm not doing that at all. I'm not going to listen to that. I don't want to save, you know, I don't want to lose face. Maybe Jason was right in the moment. Maybe his steak was medium rare instead of rare. But it's this beautiful moment where the Holy Spirit shows up in the most unassuming places and says, look, man, this is what you need to do. And as I'm reading about the Holy Spirit, as I'm diving into the Holy Spirit, and this beautiful message comes up from a friend who's directly impacted by the Holy Spirit, I thought, man, that'll teach. And these are the things that we need to be attentive to. These are the things that we need to quit shutting out in our lives. That's what I think it is more than anything, is we shut it out. We say no. Holy Spirit, I hear you, but what's the old saying? Talk to the hand. Nobody said that? Okay. Holy Spirit, I hear you, but I don't care. And once we start getting into the place where we say, Holy Spirit, I hear you. And I love you enough to listen. Because you're telling me the things that the Father is saying. You're telling me the things that Jesus is saying to me. You're telling me the things that Jesus wants for me. You're telling me the things that Jesus has for me. And Holy Spirit, I love you enough. I love Jesus enough. I love God enough to say, okay. And then watch what this adventure does within your life. I will tell you, it is not always comfortable. Amen? I will tell you, you're not always going to come out unhurt. Amen? I will tell you it is good. I will tell you it is beautiful, and I will tell you it is exactly where God wants you to be. And He speaks those things to you. We need to listen, we need to be attentive, and when those things happen, we need to say, I love you enough that I'll do what you're asking. God, we love you. I don't know how many times I've told you I love you. I don't know how many times I've voiced that I love you, God, and then I've turned the other way. And I've refused what you've asked of me to do. I've refused of the things that you have for me. I refuse the things that the Holy Spirit speaks into my life. I refuse the things that the Holy Spirit would have me say to others. I refuse the things, and then that conflicts with my voicing that I love you. God, that sets me up in hostility towards you. That sets me up as a liar when I say I love you. God, but that was the reason for Jesus. That was the reason for His coming. That was the reason for His teaching. That was the reason that you send this Holy Spirit to convict. God, that you send your Holy Spirit to converse, that you send your Holy Spirit to train and rebuke and correct and recall the things that you've asked of us in the person of Jesus. And so, Father, this voice that does come, this voice that does draw us into you, this voice that speaks to us before we even say yes to Jesus, that draws us in. God, your Spirit, may we quit tuning you out, may we quit turning your voice down, and may we respond with a yes. God, I love you that much that I will listen to what you have to say to me. I love you that much that whatever behavior I'm in that you're asking me to put down, God, I will. I don't get it. It may not be fun. It may not be what I want, God, but if that's what you're asking, that's what I will do. God, that voice, the Holy Spirit, will become louder than our own. That the Holy Spirit's thoughts will become louder than our own. That the Holy Spirit's movement will become bigger than our own. God, that we may become in this place where we are just comfortable hearing from you and what you have to say on anything in our lives. God, may we know our role, may we know our place, that you and your Spirit is what convicts hearts, is what draws people to you. God, may we only be faithful to the things that we hear from you. May we only speak the things that you give us to speak. God, we thank you that you and your Spirit does all the heavy lifting. God, may we hear from you and not tune you out. For those of us that are here that are just not sure about who you are, God, as John writes, I write this that you may believe in the person of Jesus. I pray that for them. As you draw them in, may they hear your call. May they respond to that call. God, I pray for those that just play church, that believe we've got this figured out. Those that are far from the adventure that you call us to, God, those of us that are living that self-seeking, self-serving spirit, God, break us of that. God, may we be a people that only does what we hear from you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.